Welcome, my friends, to Silence the Imposter Monster. I just had a somewhat spontaneous conversation with a super inspirational man named Ryan Montes. I asked him if he would have a conversation with me for my mastermind group, the Hammond Inner Circle Mastermind, and he agreed, and we streamed it live inside that group. And halfway through, I thought, this is pure gold. He is giving us so much value that I have to share this with my Silence the Imposter Monster audience. So I hope you enjoy eavesdropping on this conversation. I am recording this from my Airbnb in Hawaii. You can see it in the background if you're watching the video, and you'll probably hear the birds, the roosters. I'm on Kauai, and the roosters have overtaken this island. So you'll probably hear roosters cock-a-doodle-dooing in the background. And take notes, be inspired, find one action step that you will take as you listen, and enjoy this episode. Welcome, Ryan. I am so grateful to be here with you. You had put something up in the mastermind group the other day about how people are already starting to sign up for your new product. And I immediately reached out to you and said, "Hey, Ryan, will you just get on a Zoom call with me and talk about this and just share some of your aha moments? Tell us about what you're doing, just so that the people here inside the HIC can benefit from it as well. I think the very best way to learn is by modeling someone. So if you would just jump in, tell us anything you want us to know about what it is that you're offering right now, what it is that you do, how you got here, and where you're heading."
Okay, very cool. Thank you, Laurie. So for those that are not aware, mainly what I do is actually training. 99% of my job is teaching, or 99% of my business, I should say, is teaching, but live training. So I teach hypnotherapy, and I predominantly teach NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So I have a certification program. People come in, we spend, a couple of months hanging out every week, and then they come out and they're a certified practitioner of NLP and hypnotherapy with the American Board of Hypnotherapy and the American Board of NLP. That's the main thing that I do. I've been doing that for a couple of years and it's awesome and I love it. And that offer is my business. And that offer has given me the life that I have now, which I love, right? I have a life of freedom and, it's great. But the thing that, caught your attention recently is a new offer. And it's really exciting because it was kind of sort of influenced by you, Lori, and others as well. But literally, I'm calling it the Ryan M. Montes Elite Inner Circle. And after I made up the name, I was looking at his inner circles like, oh, Lori calls her group the Inner Circle too. But it's such a good thing to call it, right? So I launched, this new program, and basically what it is, I wanted to have a continuance program for people who graduate from my training or other hypnotherapists, other NLP folks, so that they could really keep their mind in the game, keep their mind in the growth, keep their mind, learning and growing and all this stuff. So, I made this kind of had this idea to combine, a subscription for training and a mastermind and like a group coaching program. And here's the thing, once I made that decision and I was like, okay, I'm going to execute it, I just did. I just did, and just almost unconsciously, I signed up for Kajabi and almost unconsciously, all these things just happened in a matter of a couple of days because I'd made the decision. And then, so I put together the pieces, I put together the elements, the plan, how many meetings we were going to have, what's going to be included, what massive value can I include for, the people who do sign up. And then I feel like you asked one simple question. It was probably just
No, this
introduce
is what I
yourself, Ryan,
want.
and I'm going down this big long tangent.
Yes,
But
please.
anyways, I hope that's okay. Feel free to jump in and interrupt at any moment. And then I just started inviting people who had worked with me before. Right, who I know had gotten good value from past training. Some of them have finished my NLP training, some have not. And I just, started reaching out literally with my phone and sending them voice memos through Facebook Messenger and Instagram Messenger and just saying, hey, it's Ryan. How's it going? How's life? I'm starting this new thing. It's really awesome. I would love it if you would be there. Here, is it okay if I send you a little video that I recorded about what it's all about and the pricing and all this stuff? And a bunch of people said, yeah, send the video, you know, send away. And so I sent a little, you know, I had a, recorded a little video in Zoom, actually. I like using Zoom, and sent out the video. And, you know, inside of about 1 week, I have about now 20 people registered for my ongoing monthly mastermind. And, you know, I was, and I did this, I executed on this, having no idea how many people were going to want this, having no idea how many people would sign up and, you know, and all this stuff. And it just feels like it's going really, really well so far.
Man, I am so, I'm so happy I asked you for this conversation, because I'm already feeling so inspired. A couple things really stood out at me. And if at any point I ask you a question that is too nosy or that you would rather not share, just say pass. So the first thing I'm wondering, and I know other people are wondering this too, is can you tell me a little bit about the specifics of the mastermind as far as what the investment is for the people you're bringing in? And then what you mentioned, that it's a mastermind, it's ongoing training. So just like briefly kind of share how that would look.
Yeah. So one of the reasons that, you know, I've had this kind of on the back burner, sort of slowly growing in my imagination for the last couple of years, actually, is that, you know, for those that have studied NLP or are a little bit familiar with it, you know, NLP is this huge body of knowledge, right? And there's so many different patterns that encompass what is NLP and techniques and trainings and beliefs. And most big schools of NLP break it down into kind of two giant chunks, the NLP practitioner program, and then the NLP master practitioner program. And then there's a trainer's training beyond that as well. And so, you know, the people who come through my sort of flagship course, they come out as an NLP practitioner, which is about a, you know, a third of the puzzle of the overall commonly used NLP tools. The other two thirds are in master practitioner. And I wasn't keen on the idea of running the master practitioner training the traditional way, because with the boards that I'm with, it's, you know, a marathon of 16 days in a row of training, 10 hours a day. And it's quite intensive, you might say, especially for the instructor, right? But there, I recognized that there were people who were coming out of my practitioner training who were craving more, wanting to build their skills, wanting to build their understanding and get those, you know, next pieces of the puzzle. And so, you know, part of it was like, how can I deliver, how can I get this extra stuff in a way that's more consumable for the students and more doable for me as well, right? And so I thought, well, what if I did it in like a monthly basis, break it down into chunks, and we'll meet a couple of times a month instead of, you know, 160 hours in a row, right, basically of training. So included, you know, I was aiming to include in this, that's what it started out as. Okay, I'm going to take the master level skills and the other advanced hypno stuff and all these little tips and things that I just don't have time for in my regular flagship course and deliver them via this mastermind, right? But then once the ball was rolling for, you know, what to include, I thought, well, if we're going to be meeting on a regular basis and we're going to be, you know, connecting with one another and growing and supporting each other, might as well do more than just learn more techniques and skills. We might as well talk business. We might as well support each other. We might as well have coaching, accountability, and, you know, and all the good stuff that normally goes into a mastermind. So you know, there's me metaphorically kind of at the, with a giant cauldron in front of me, just dropping in this and that and everything that I can to create what is now the Ryan Montes Elite Inner Circle. So where it's at right now is it's two primary, you know, training coaching meetings per month, and they're 3 hours per meeting. These are heavy duty meetings, right? You know, on the, we're doing it on Thursdays, second and fourth Thursday of the month. And then of course, and I think probably you ran into this sometime ago when you were developing your HIC, the different time zones. I had people saying, Ryan, you sent me the info video, I'm all in, but I'm at work, or it's the middle of the night, or blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. What can we do? And so, okay, you know, I want it to be inclusive, you know, especially for the people who are on the invite list. And so now there's a third meeting, and I'm calling it an integration meeting.
Okay.
And it's at a different time. So it's an evening on the fourth Thursday to catch the people in, you know, wherever.
Australia, New Zealand.
People in Australia, yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly, right? Yeah, and everything gets recorded, everything goes into a portal, so if anything's missed, it's all there. I'm also including access to like all my recorded trainings, including future recorded trainings. I just I'm telling people, you know, this is like, it's more than just an offer for me. It's like a big,
the Mondo Supremo package.
It's my baby, right? It's my baby. Yeah. It's something different, something special, right? Yeah. Anyways, again, you asked a very simple question and I gave you a very complex answer.
No, I like this.
And I apologize for that. And really what I'm, you know, there's much more to it than I just described. I'm trying to give a brief summary. $147 USD a month is what I'm asking people, which, you know, when I was coming up with the price, I could, just based on the curriculum for the training components, it could have and should have been a lot more expensive than that, in my opinion, especially if anybody knows how much it costs to attend an NLP master practitioner training, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, I had this kind of saying in my mind, and this is what, you know, I tell my students when it comes to business is, you know, sales become easy when you give people way more value than they're paying in price.
Big time.
Right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know that the price is going to stay at 147, probably not. Certainly anybody who's in it now gets to keep that in perpetuity. But I thought, you know, I want to make at least the first round of people that I invite an offer that they cannot refuse, something that's just a total no-brainer. Come hang out with me a couple of days a month or a couple of meetings a month, you know, get access to all this other stuff at a price that is almost giving it away, right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, and there's a little bit of an experimental vibe to, at least for me, when I was putting this all together, I kind of see how it goes. And so far, so good. So far, so good.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. So another thing that has stood out to me is you said early on, I wrote it down, I'm like typing as you speak, and you just said, I made a decision and executed. I just did it. And then as I asked you to dive in a little bit and tell me more, you said this is kind of something you've been processing for the past couple of years. And I really resonate with both of those things where it's like, there's always a part of me, and I know, I'm sure you're like this too, Ryan, where like, we're always looking for ideas in our business. I'm like, oh, what if I did this? And what if I did this? And there's just like this sea of idea fishes swimming around all the time.
Yeah.
So if you were to just kind of talk about that, maybe the state you were in, or what you think that catalyst was that allowed you to say, like, what if I just actually do this and you pick up your phone and text someone? Because to me, I've seen in my business, those are the ideas that are the winning ideas, the one where you stop thinking about it, you throw that hook out there, you catch one of the fish, and you just freaking skin the thing and stick it on the skillet. That's a terrible metaphor, but talk to me about your perspective on that.
Yeah, I mean, I there's always this internal kind of dialogue, and I think all entrepreneurs have it, where it's like the idea comes up and, you know, and there's this kind of instantaneous cost, you know, benefit analysis, and, you know, a lot of stuff gets dismissed that way, right? Yeah. And so luckily, you know, the idea kept coming up, and, you know, I kept thinking, how can I execute this on a way that's going to be ultra valuable for the people that are involved, but not turn into a prison for me, right? Because, right, you know, starting a mastermind, it, you know, as joyous of a thing as it is, it's also, you're making a big commitment as the leader of the mastermind to the people in the mastermind in terms of time, in terms of energy, in terms of the value that you need to consistently and almost permanently provide on a regular basis, right? Because nobody starts a mastermind with an end in sight, at least not that I'm aware of, right? It's something, let's continue to grow forever, right? Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So there was that kind of back and forth, I think a little bit, you know, in the back of my mind as this idea was just in storage, so to speak. How can I execute this where it's going to be ultra valuable, but also, you know, a good thing for me and my business too, which of course, you know, I will admit is a big priority, of course. But eventually, you know what it was? I think it was just a series of a couple of things just came into place, right? I've been resisting signing up for Kajabi. I don't know why, like for the last 2 years, I've been using like Voomly and Webinar Kit and all these other like softwares, and then eventually I was like, you know, it's not as if I can't afford Kajabi. Like, business is good, luckily, and I'm very grateful to say that. Let's try out this Kajabi thing. We get the trial, and so I'm sitting there using Kajabi, and I'm, you know, hopping into, you know, your mastermind calls, Laurie, and, you know, And again, there's just this stew of like good things happening in my mind. And I guess eventually I just reached, you know, critical mass for the idea, and, you know, the decision manifested, and I decided that it could be easy, and then it was.
Ooh, I love that. I feel like anyone listening, like, grab onto what Ryan just said. I decided that it could be easy, and it was.
Yeah.
This, I never want people to think I'm making commercials for Kajabi. And I've had people say, oh, I really want to be successful, but I don't want to get Kajabi. You do not have to have Kajabi to be successful. But on that note, will you tell me, are you glad you got Kajabi? Talk to me about what that decision was like for you.
Yeah, I mean, I barely scratched the surface of using the features. I've literally had it for like maybe 4 weeks, if that. But yeah, no, I don't regret it at all. And, you know, looking at the cost of Kajabi, if you're even minimally successful in business, like, the cost of Kajabi is nothing, yeah. Right? Really, it's totally worth it for what you get.
Yeah.
And when I stepped into Kajabi, you know, this might sound a bit bizarre, but it was almost like, okay, this is what all the big players in this business use, right? Like, this is the Mike Mandels, the Laurie Hammonds, you know, the Freddie Jacquins. They're all using Kajabi, and now here I am, right? So yeah. I'm one of them too, right?
That's awesome. I've been wanting to figure out how to share this graphic, and I can't figure it out because it's like a scrolling graphic. So I'm going to share it really quick. To me, this is a metaphor that explains why Kajabi. So Ryan was talking about how he has all these different platforms out here. And the reason I chose Kajabi, I got on the phone with Chris Thompson. He did a Zoom call with me and showed me how he used it. And I was not making money in my business yet. I was struggling. I was hosting a weight loss course on Podia, and it was clunky. It was just causing me such a headache. And so I signed up with Kajabi to get the program aspect of it. So I'm just going to really quickly share this screen to show anyone who's watching why I chose Kajabi. So can you see this Kajabi page? So if you watch as I scroll, it says your business before Kajabi. And it's like, you have all these different platforms, all these, you know, MailChimp, and there's a place where you host your website. And when you bring Kajabi in, it's like it puts all these together and it's all in one place. So I think for me, the biggest reason I love it is because it's like it organizes my brain. It just, like, if I want to do something, I just click a few buttons in Kajabi. And I know that sounds simplified. And it happens. You don't have to integrate 99 different things. So that's the Kajabi commercial that I wasn't planning to put in there. And I will put an affiliate link above this. If someone decides they do want to sign up for Kajabi, I would love it if you sign up through me. Your price will be the same, but I'll get a little bit of your payment every month, which, like, Chris Thompson gets, I think, a third of my monthly payment. And it makes me really happy to know that he gets that. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
So another thing that you said right at the start is that you were talking about how you are a trainer. That's like that's how you're set up, and that you do NLP trainings. And then you said, and that's led me to the life that I have now. So I wondered if you would just paint a little bit of a picture of what business looks like for you. What, you know, maybe a day in the life of Ryan. I don't know if you have typical days. I don't necessarily have typical days. And you could also tell us a little bit about where you're heading, because I know that you, like me, have some really big business goals. So if you just want to talk to us a little bit about what that looks like, I would love that.
Sure. Yeah. So as I mentioned, you know, I'm an NLP trainer. You know, the bread and butter for me is running trainings, right? Certification trainings, dual certification trainings in hypnotherapy according to ABH standards and NLP according to ABNLP standards. That's my main thing. I do occasionally do one-to-one work, and I did more of it when I was starting out. Obviously, you need to. If you're teaching this stuff, you need to have used it with real clients, right? So I do, most of my clients these days are coaching clients, and most of them are people who have been students of mine who have specially requested to work with me one-to-one, right? But most of what I'm doing is training the NLP. And now I'm putting a lot of energy and a lot of attention on, obviously, my new elite inner circle, right? But in terms of my day-to-day, you know, I think I've gone through all the different stages of entrepreneurship, the, like, working 24/7, the, like, up all night stage. And now I've kind of like oddly and surprisingly relaxed into this like Monday to Friday, sort of like 6 to 4 or, you know, 8 to 4 kind of schedule. It's almost like I have a 9 to 5 kind of scheme, except there's no boss. I'm the boss, right? For a time, I had an external office outside of my house because I found it less distracting, and, you know, to me, it kind of like helped to get dressed and physically leave my home each day. And that, I think I can give some credit to me rapidly building my business to actually having a physical office outside of my house. That being said, caveat, don't go spending all kinds of money you don't have if you're still in a growing phase in your business, I would say to those listening in Facebook land. But now I've kind of, you know, in terms of the life that I've built through this business, I mean, for me, my highest value is and always has been freedom, right? Freedom. And I break it down into kind of 4 categories. You know, financial freedom obviously is important, time freedom, emotional freedom, if you're a hypnotherapist and you don't yet have emotional freedom, start using the tools on yourself. That's the hint number one. Hypnotherapists often forget, use the tools for you, right?
Yeah.
And location freedom is a big one, you know, and Laura, you're a good example. If you have a location independent business, you can run things from wherever you are, right? So yeah, that's where I am today. I'm happy to say, you know, I have these levels of freedom, and it's just stepping outside of my comfort zone and executing on those ideas in the business has allowed me to get where I am now. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that does answer the question. Yeah. That is really helpful, and I appreciate that. To me, it just helps to kind of have a snapshot of what a person's life looks like as they're executing. Like, I'll picture Chris Thompson sitting in his backyard by his pool, answering emails, and then they, like, him and Mike go to lunch together, and then they go to jujitsu together afterwards. So I just like picturing it, and I think anyone who's watching knows where I am right now, but I've had several people say, why are you working on vacation? And I said, I am not on vacation. Like, I read a book in 2009 called The 4-Hour Work Week. And he talked about taking mini retirements. And when I was asking myself as a hairstylist, how can I build a business and make an excellent money and work from anywhere in the world that has a Wi-Fi connection and stop trading dollars for hours? And that is exactly what I'm doing right now. And I'll see if I can show people on the screen. This is the backyard of my Hawaii Airbnb.
Beautiful.
I walked out here this morning just to get some sunlight, and I was barefoot. I've noticed the locals walk around barefoot a lot, but I was watching where I walked, and I saw this really shiny piece of fruit. It was like brown and shiny, and I almost reached down to pick it up, and I realized it was poop.
Oh.
So it's been an adventure, but yeah, I love that we can get a glimpse into what entrepreneurship is for you. Okay, let me peek over at my notes. I know I had another question. While I'm processing and like getting out of Hawaii and into this conversation, what advice would you give someone who's maybe just starting out and they're struggling, or maybe they have those fish in that pond, like so many ideas, and they just don't know where to start? What would you tell someone who wants to start getting some traction and momentum? How could they do that?
I think the number one thing is consistency and being visible. Consistency in being visible probably is the number one thing. You know, Laurie, when I started my business, and I started in December 2019, not that long ago, and I'm now, you know, a 6+ figure business owner, entrepreneur. I went from no sales, like to not owning a business, to about $5,000 or $6,000 in sales in my first month. I went from being a private detective who had no social media presence. I was not on Facebook and I was not on Instagram for a full like 10 years of my life when I was a private detective, and I was in the military for a little bit as well. And so when I came on the scene, you know, and I was like, I'm an NLP and hypnosis trainer now. I was like brand new to social media. I was brand new to entrepreneurship. I was brand new to everything. And the thing that, looking back, the thing that got me sales almost immediately was just being on Facebook, not even Instagram yet, just being on Facebook every day and making posts and talking about what I learned in NLP trainer school, like talking about the unconscious mind, talking about this, talking about that. And before I knew it, I had strangers messaging me. Oh, and the other thing was I would like add people on Facebook and, you know, and actively try to connect with people, but I wasn't cold messaging. I wasn't doing anything like that, but I would have strangers like messaging me being like, hey, I saw that post that you made and it's really interesting. And here's another pivotal thing, everybody. When I got messages like that, I would say, yeah, I agree. It's really fascinating stuff. Would you want to hop on a Zoom call and chat more about it? Right? No pressure. And I wouldn't even like make sales pitches. I just literally was like, something in my mind said, have as many conversations as you possibly can with strangers about the stuff you learned and just see what happens. And so just like I had been making, you know, sort of benign posts about the unconscious mind and NLP and business and all this stuff on Facebook, and I started getting people cold messaging me, I would go on Zoom calls with these people and start talking about what I'm passionate about, the unconscious mind and self-development and all these things. And then people, you know, after 15 or 20 minutes of talking, people would be like, okay, how much, like, where do I sign up? Like what? And I hadn't even made an offer. It was just like, wow. For me, it was just a conversation. They'd be like, okay, like what is it that you sell and when does it start? Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Like my first sale, like luckily one of my mentors had said, make sure you can take credit card. Make sure, even if you don't yet know what you're selling, make sure you can, if somebody offers to pay you something in credit card, make sure you're ready for that. Right. And so I had made, a Square account at the time. Now I use Stripe, by the way. Stripe is terrific in my opinion. And
I experience. Agree.
But I remember being on a conversation with the person who ultimately became my first student, who was an excellent student. And, you know, she's actually in the RMM inner circle now. But her being like, yeah, like, where do I sign up? How much is it? And lucky I had the answers in my mind. And that was my first sale, and things just kind of went from there. And so it goes back to those few things, you know, consistency, being visible. I can't tell you how many coaches have beautiful Instagram profiles that don't show their face and you can't hear their voice, right?
Right.
Nay, nay, nay. Show your face. Let the people hear you. Let them connect with you that way. Because it's brilliant when you get on a call with somebody and you can just tell they feel like they already know you intimately. Right? Because they've been following your content and, you know, learning from you and listening. Does that answer the question?
Yes. And it's so freaking awesome. Like, you have just given people pure gold. And this is the same thing I've done. I've been doing it for 4 years. And I haven't looked at you on Facebook a lot. And I don't go on Instagram much. But when I have been on Instagram, I know that you are super, like, you have done amazing things on Instagram that I have not done. So you are a really great person to model. And another thing that I'm picking up on is enthusiasm. Like, you have this enthusiasm and this willingness to get on a Zoom call and talk with people is going to allow you to really clearly understand their problem so that you understand how to solve that problem. I think that when we, you know, we might have this cool thing and we might be really passionate about it, but if we don't know how to talk about it in the context of another person's needs, that is so frustrating. And when a person feels heard and understood, they want, like, all they need is for them to think, okay, Ryan knows my struggle. He knows what I need. And for you just to get on a Zoom call and talk with them is going to give them so much. And then that same energy is going to come across on your social media posts and, you know, everywhere else. So you have just given us pure gold with that formula. Thank you so much.
You are most welcome. I'm delighted to hear it. Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions for best, cause you're on Facebook and Instagram, any other social media channels?
Not really. 99% of my students and clients have come to me through either Facebook or Instagram.
Okay.
I do have a TikTok account, but I haven't really put a lot of energy into it yet. I've dabbled in, what's the one with the talking? You're on there. Clubhouse.
Yeah.
one with the talking. I know a lot of people are having great success on there, but I haven't really, again, I haven't invested too much energy. So far, I've been too successful with Instagram and Facebook to be able to spend time on other platforms, which is a good problem to have, right?
I agree. And I think when, if it ain't broke, don't fix it and go all in where it's working. Do you have any recommendations or tips for best practices on Facebook or Instagram?
Again, consistency, and know that you may not see the effects of consistency for some time. You know, there's this sort of delayed reaction where you're posting content, and it can feel like nobody's watching it, nobody's commenting, and nobody's liking. And then, you know, all of a sudden, a few weeks later, a couple of months later, you know, somebody reaches out and says, I've been, you know, and it's a name you don't even recognize because they haven't liked your stuff or commented at all. They reach out and they say, I've watched every video you've ever made.
Yeah.
How much, right? How much? The big question. So, you know, keep in mind, there's this delayed gratification, even when you are being consistent and you are doing everything right on social media. And here's a quick hack. Here's a quick authority hack that actually I can give people. Interview people on Instagram Live or Facebook Live. Interview clients, even if they're not your clients. Find a person who has benefited from the service you offer, even if it's offered by somebody else, and get them on a live video to explain how they benefited from hypnosis, or they explain how they benefited from unconscious mind tools or NLP, whatever. This does a couple of things. It gets a lot of attention. It causes audience sharing. So the people that follow them are now going to see you. And when you interview someone, you present yourself as an expert, even if you're just sitting there asking questions, right? When I was starting my business and growing my business, there was a period where I interviewed a different coach or hypnotist or NLP practitioner or person every day, Monday to Friday, on my Instagram Live. And a lot of people who just happened to catch that Instagram Live became students or clients.
Wow.
So that's something I would recommend. A lot of people will have to step out of their comfort zone to do that, but it's worth it, in my opinion, in my experience.
Wow, that is really awesome. This is so helpful. As we are talking, I don't want to put you on the spot so you can answer this question later, but I'm thinking how useful this would be even as a podcast, to release this as a podcast for the greater public on Silence the Imposter Monster. So you can answer me later, but I'm thinking this is so much pure gold that I think so many people would benefit from this conversation.
Yeah. No, I can answer you now. Lori, I have a pretty open book policy. I'm honest with people about how I run my business. When people ask me questions, I answer, because what is there to hide? We live in abundance. There's no competition, as you say. Let's all thrive together. Let's all thrive together. So by all means, if you want to share this recording as a podcast, share it, put it on YouTube, go for it. I don't mind seeing myself out there in the wild, you know?
Or I love that. Thank you. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Yeah.
So you mentioned that you used to be a private detective and that you have a military background. And I'm wondering if there's any mindsets or habits or ways of thinking that have served you well that you could kind of just implant for some other people, you know, ways of looking at the world and approaching the world that allow people to incorporate those ways of being that lead to success. It's kind of a big question. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's a surprising amount of crossover in terms of the skills of being a successful private investigator. And I was a private investigator in Canada, in Ontario and Quebec for a number of years. That was my first big career, right? And I learned all about the unconscious mind and human psychology because I was there learning how to do interviews and interrogations alongside police detectives and homicide detectives and stuff, even though I didn't work for the police, right? I was always a private investigator. I think maybe even more important than, well, first, so there's one tip right there. When you're working with clients, there's this saying, and I think Tad James used to say this, use the Columbo approach. Use the Columbo approach. Be hyper curious about what's going on in the life and the mind of the client, because that's going to give you data about how to best serve them, right? Yeah. If you guys are out there and you don't know who Columbo is, go on YouTube and watch Columbo. He's Peter Falk, the actor Peter Falk played Columbo on television. He was a television detective, and he's absolutely marvelous. But he would feign ignorance and ask questions. He was very inquisitive and like trick these wrongdoers into admitting their misdeeds and stuff. Anyways, not that our clients are wrongdoers, but there's a similar, you know, a coach or a hypnotherapist, in my opinion, is it needs to be a little bit of a detective and to get to the bottom of things, like root cause, for example, that the client may not even have in their awareness. So there's one tip. And then, you know, a big tip in terms of business success is in the military, they really drive home, you know, the importance of the mission, right? The mission is more important than anything else, right? Now in the military, often it's life or death, right? But luckily in business, often it's not life or death. But still, you know, when I think about running my business and when I think about, you know, growing my business, it's not like an if, it's like a must, right? The mission is to empower the students. The mission is to empower the students to go out and be hypnotherapists or NLP practitioners so that they can empower other people, right? And failing is not an option, right? Setbacks are gonna happen, challenges are gonna happen, but ultimately if you, you know, hold the mission, you know, in high esteem in your mind, to the degree that you will take whatever action necessary and collect whatever resources necessary to, you know, succeed in that mission, then you become unstoppable, right? This is why ex-soldiers tend to be very good entrepreneurs, right? And I'm not just talking about myself, but in general, you know, if you Google, if you start looking, there's a lot of like high level entrepreneurs who have military backgrounds.
I have noticed this.
And I think it just comes down to in the military, you learn not to take failure as an option, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, there's no giving up basically, regardless of how hard things get or how exhausting things get, you must continue on. And when you apply that thinking and that energy to business, like, man, you know, what's going to stop you, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. I have definitely noticed that correlation between people who have been served in the military and they're just high level entrepreneurs, whatever they set their mind to, they accomplish. And it's inspirational. And I really want to draw people's attention to this idea. It's so important to think about the tiny little habits. So we often want to change this, do these great, big, grandiose plans. But when we think about who we are as a person, the person that we are showing up as we are implementing these plans, as we are trial and erroring, as we are falling down and getting back up and not taking failure for an answer, I think one of the most important things we can do is just incorporate little habits into our lives, because I think it's Aristotle that says we become what we repeatedly do. And so having those little habits that just allow you to start to change on an identity level. And with me just putting you on the spot, is there any particular habit, either like a habit of thought or some kind of an action step that you implement maybe at the beginning or the end of your day that has served you well in being an entrepreneur?
There's several. And I do agree, you know, the little habits make you or break you in many cases. And like one of my habits, and I mentioned it earlier, is I used to like physically, you know, just take myself out of my home and put myself into a little room in an office building that was only for work, right? I would go there Monday to Friday. I would get there at the same time every day, and that was the office. And when I'm there, I'm mostly doing work, right? So just the habit of physically placing myself in a workspace. And, you know, now, I'm grateful and I'm fortunate to have been able to move to a big house in the woods. And now I actually converted the master bedroom into my office. So now I have a really nice home office, but even still, the office is separate from the rest of the house. And so Monday to Friday, first thing in the morning, I come into the office, I make a coffee, and it is time for work, right? So just that habit of maybe having a location, or even if it's just a chair in your home that is anchored for work, that spot is for work, and give yourself a schedule, give yourself a work schedule. Yes, as an entrepreneur, you get to have time freedom, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't have, you know, a regimented work schedule, it can actually really work to your benefit, at least in my experience, in my opinion. So that's one habit, you know, anchor a spot for work, even if it's not an office outside your home. And then just chunking down, and this comes out of NLP, you know, the greatest weapon against overwhelm is breaking down tasks into smaller bits, either with or without the use of a list. Putting it on paper often is helpful, but, you know, don't build the website, just write the about page. Right? Don't build the business. Think of what's the first product or service that you want to sell, right? Chunk down. When we chunk down in this way, you know, in sort of the hierarchy of ideas, it's called overwhelm tends to dissolve, right? So, and that can be a habit. Every time I start to feel like I don't feel like doing XYZ, well, what if I just do this little first bit of it, right? And then go from there. And then the secret is, when you do the first little bit, before you know it, you've done the rest too, right?
Yeah.
So there's a couple. There's two or three.
Those are so helpful. Thank you so much. Ryan, I have been so excited for this conversation, and you have like blown my expectations out of the water. I am so, so grateful for you doing this. Are you in your home office right now?
I am, yeah.
I love just like your simple white background, and you obviously have some great lighting in there. So it's, and another thing I wanted to mention is that the videos that I've seen of yours, you can tell that you have done this a few times. Like, you're a great speaker, but I don't believe, if I remember correctly, they're not super duper polished or produced or professional. They're just more conversational. And I think that the fact that you've just been willing to do this and put it out there, you know, almost like what you were saying earlier, where you just started texting people and saying, hey, do you want this cool thing? Will you speak a little bit to that, about, you know, just putting it out there?
Yeah, for sure. Right from the beginning, right from, you know, and people, if you're watching this and you're curious, you can scroll all the way back in my Facebook profile to a couple of years ago and see those first 15 or 20 or 30 videos of mine, where it's shaky and the voice quality is not what it is today. And it's, you know, really imperfect. And even the webcam was not the resolution that it is now. I've always been an unscripted dude. Call me lazy, but I'm not going to take an hour to record a 5-minute video. I'm just not. I'm going to hit record or hit go live, start talking, and whatever goes out, goes out. And so, you know, you can go back and watch all my videos. That's literally the way I do it. And here's the thing. You don't need a script, right? You don't need a script. If you know your subject matter, if you can take a subject and talk about it with a friend over coffee, without having to look at your notes or without needing a teleprompter, it's no different to do it in front of a webcam. You know, yeah. People out there in entrepreneur world, you know your stuff, right? Just imagine you're talking to your mom or your dad or your sister or your brother, you're telling them about what you do, right? Or a friend or whatever. So yeah, when I do the videos, it's just hit record, one and done. I do one take. If it's an absolute train wreck, you can just delete it and nobody will see it, right? Who cares, yeah. You know? So that's the way I do it. And yeah, I keep things simple. You know, at most, prep for a video will be like, I'll take a piece of scrap paper and write down like two or three keywords just so that I don't forget what I want to say. But I haven't even done that now in at least maybe 6 or 8 months. I can't remember the last time I did even that level of prep, because with practice, it just gets easier and easier and easier. If you go live every day or every other day, it only gets easier. You only get more polished, you know, you only get more comfortable in delivering your message. What I will say is, if you want to look professional, it is not expensive and it is not difficult to have decent lighting and a decent webcam and a decent microphone. Okay. This microphone was $100 and it sounds phenomenal. This webcam is a Logitech webcam that I got for $150 off Amazon. And I don't have a ring light. I don't have professional lighting. There's literally like a floor lamp there. The overhead ceiling light is on. And I'm lucky that I've got a couple of windows, so there's a little bit of natural light.
It looks like there's some natural light going on.
There's a little bit of natural light. And that really makes a big difference, right?
That so you're really just using that Yeti mic right now?
Yeah, that's what you're listening to me through. It's wow. A blue Yeti Blackout Edition. Okay. It was $99 Canadian, which is around $75 US. Yeah. Well worth it.
And you can add these things one at a time. I've noticed that when I watch Tim Ferriss's recorded podcast, he's like on his laptop and he's looking down like this. And I thought, okay, if Tim Ferriss can do this, and I usually have a better mic. I didn't know that we were going to turn this into a podcast, but yeah, you can add these things one at a time and don't wait to have all the professional stuff to get started. I think that is so important. Something that I had latched onto at the very beginning of our conversation, I remembered one more thing. You had mentioned that you had this idea, you sent people a message and you said, hey, do you want me to send you a video to tell you more? And I think that is so key. I was actually thinking of this on my hike yesterday. I talk about the three P's, telling people, talking about the problem and the promise and getting proof that they actually want that thing. And I was thinking yesterday, there's a fourth P and it's permission. And if you get someone's permission to give them something instead of just, you know, I opened a DM yesterday and someone said, hi, Lori, we've never met, but would you be interested in this and this and this, like trying to sell me something? It's like, you haven't even, like, you don't have my permission to send me this stuff. So if you say, hey, can I show you a video? Could I give you a link to this page or whatever? And they say yes. Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really important. Everybody, I think, would agree, especially newer entrepreneurs, that you don't want to feel like you're imposing on people. You don't want to feel, the word is salesy, right? You don't want to feel salesy or like you're pressuring people. And you really don't need to, especially if you believe in the value that you're offering. You know, I heard an NLP trainer one time say, you know, I'm of a mind to give a gift. If somebody's not of the mind to receive the gift, well, I'm just going to keep it for me or give it to somebody else, right? And the same goes if you have a new offer or whatever. I think it's important to accept that it's a good thing if you give them the option and they say no, because then they're saving you from wasting your time on, you know, making them an offer that they don't want. I like that model of, you know, hey, I'm really excited about this thing. I think you might love it. Is it okay if I tell you more? Right. And then it's a simple yes or no. There's no pressure one way or the other, but if they say yes, I'll tell you this, everybody in Facebook land, if you get that yes, they're 100 times more likely to watch the video or go to the link or learn the information than if you just send a message saying, hey, even if it's a warm or hot person lead that, you know, you're in regular contact with, just sending them a video and saying, hey, this is perfect for you, check it out, you're going to love it, is very different than, hey, I've got this cool thing going on, do you want to hear about it? There's that unconscious buy-in. And it can actually also create anticipation, which is your friend, if you're in sales, create that anticipation, right? And yeah, it opens a door.
Right? I've started even doing this with my kids. Like if I'm having a conversation with my kids and I have an idea of advice to give them, I try so hard not to get, like, they're adults, they don't need my advice. But I've learned to start saying, I have an idea about that. Would you like me to give it to you? And wait for them to say yes. And they're so much more likely, because even just, I think it's Cialdini that talks about, is it the consistency principle, where when someone says, yes, I'm willing to do this thing, then they are proving to themselves that they meant what they said. They're not going to make themselves a liar, and they're going to listen to the thing that they said, yes, I want this.
Oh yeah, definitely. Right. Yeah. Cialdini said that. Yeah. If they agree, then they want to, unconsciously, people all want to be perceived as consistent. So yeah, that's true. That's at play as well, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, Ryan, thank you so much. Is there anything that I haven't asked you or that we haven't talked about yet that you want to cover before we say goodbye?
Anything that we haven't talked about that I want to cover? I have noticed a little pattern lately in some of the, you know, forums and some of the message boards where I'm in, you know, all these different groups and masterminds and stuff, and there's hypnotherapists who are growing their business or trying to get their first couple of clients or whatever. And there's a lot of people that ask these like hyper specific questions about how to execute on some little tiny thing, right? When it comes to like making a post or doing this or doing that. I think, you know, and I was telling my class this the other day, at some point, you have to stop believing the leaders, the teachers, the gurus, and just go out and find out what works for yourself, right? And same goes when teaching hypnosis or teaching NLP, I'll never say that, you know, I guarantee this technique is going to work. I'll say, you know, go out and use it and see how well it works, right? And in that vein, you know, if you're growing your business and you have this hyper specific question and you're waiting for the answer before you take action, here's my advice: take the action without the answer.
Yeah.
Go out, test, do it, execute, you know, face challenges, find out what doesn't work. Finding out what doesn't work is as important as finding out what does work. Answer your own questions, right? Through action is what I would say. I think that's all. I just mentioned this because it happens to be on my mind in the last couple of days.
Yeah. Well, and that's so important. It lines up with what you were saying about what starting making those videos, and they were clunky at first and your voice shook, but you learned so much more quickly by just doing it than you would have by waiting until your voice didn't shake and you had the right equipment and you had the Yeti mic and all that. So you will always learn so much more quickly by doing than by waiting to do it right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. There was one day when was it? A little more than a year ago now, where like, if someone wanted to go back and look at my Facebook history, you would see there was a day where I did like 12 lives in one day, right? Each slightly less imperfect than the one before, right? But I'll tell you, it wasn't long after that that I had my highest earning month ever, right? Wow. It was actually like a few weeks later, right? So, you know, never underestimate the power of, you know, really stepping outside of your comfort zone and taking some massive action. And by the way, like, you can make 100 videos a day if you wanted to. They don't take that long, especially if you go unscripted.
Yeah. I have been on this trip because every day I'll be going throughout the day. I'll have an idea while I'm listening to a podcast, or I'll be getting into my car and I'll think, I could make a little video about this, and I don't do it. And so while I've been here on this trip, I've just been, oh my goodness, just inundating. I feel like I'm being such a pest, just making, it's like, I'm on vacation. I'm going to do what I want. I said earlier, I'm not on vacation, but, and so I've just been doing it. And there's something really energizing for me. And not everybody is going to see every video. The people that are supposed to see that video will see it. And I think the more consistent you are, you should feel like you are just like putting yourself out there, and not everyone's going to see it. And if they don't want to, they can just skip it.
Yeah. You know what? I'll say I'm a big, you know, advocate of being a little bit polarizing when it comes to getting your message across, right? Like if you're doing, you know, 50 videos about your Hawaii trip a day, and, you know, if some people don't like that and they unfollow you, that's great, because they probably weren't your people anyways. Yeah. But the people who are your people are going to see that and say, oh, Lori's making more content than usual, and get excited, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it has that effect of bouncing out the people that are not serious anyways about whatever it is you're doing, and then nurturing even more the people who are, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I kind of don't care, right? I'll post a little video every now and then about my coffee maker, about these silly things from my life, because I know the people that like me are going to like it. And the ones who would complain or be finicky about it probably were never going to invest in my training anyways. So.
Yeah. Oh man, I needed to hear that, Ryan. This is awesome. What is the best way for people to find you if they want to learn more about what you do or get in touch?
Well, the best way is just come down to my house. Okay. It's over here. No, I'm just kidding. at Ryan Montes NLP on Instagram and facebook.com/RyanMontes1. And there's a new website coming out soon at RyanMontes.com. Built on Kajabi. But right now it's just kind of under construction. Next couple of weeks, that'll be up.
Okay. And that's M-O-N-T-I-S for everyone.
Yeah. First name is Ryan, R-Y-A-N-M-O-N-T-I-S-N-L-P on Instagram, but yeah.
Okay. And I will put all those links wherever you're watching this video. Thank you so much, my friend. I am grateful for you. And thank you to everyone who's watching this live inside the Hammond Inner Circle Mastermind. And to anyone who's listening to the replay as a podcast, I am grateful for you. And Ryan, I will talk to you soon. Have an amazing day, my friend.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks again for inviting me to chat. I really, really appreciate it. All the best.